The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
Welcome to the Comedy Store Podcast, guys. I'm Rick Ingram.
I'm Eleanor Kerrigan.
We got Mr. Brian Sclaro here.
Hello.
Damn it, he's got comedy voice.
So sorry,
super energetic.
I just had my first sip and my first couple of hits.
Nice. There you go.
I'm in a good mood. It hasn't gone from good mood to horrible experience yet.
We'll get you there.
Yeah, we usually do.
I believe you guys can.
Did they get your power back on? I watched a video online.
You watched the video. It was out for like 8 hours.
You had a power outage?
There was a power outage in my whole building, and I literally realized if there was the apocalypse, I would just be killed instantly. Yeah. I had no TV, no microwave,
yeah,
no fridge, no laptop, no charger for my phone, and I didn't no lights. I didn't know what to do with myself.
That's hysterical.
Most people would start writing jokes. Most comics would go on the terrace and write jokes now.
No, they would. Most comics, I think, would just they'd probably panic. Go to Ralph's or something and just hang
I
out.
Think they would panic. I think that we would all do the same thing. I don't know because I was working in Vegas yesterday and the Tropicana had a power outage, but it was like 10 in the morning. Thank God.
Wow.
And it freaked me out because I just woke up.
Casino.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I just woke up and I was going to the bathroom. You know how you're like groggy, whatever. And as soon as I sat down, the lights went out, and I was like, "Did I do that?"
That's funny.
Like, and I just started freaking out, and I immediately took my phone and put the flashlight on, and I'm like, "It's fucking 10 a.m. Open the window, dick."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I looked at my battery, and I was like, "I have no battery," and I was like, "Oh my God!" And then I was like, "What do I do?" I did the same thing. I called my mother. Yeah. Like she could help.
What do I do, Mom?
She's in South Philly. She's 78 years old. She's like, I don't know what to happen.
I didn't know. I really didn't know what to do. I made one Instagram video and just sat.
It was great.
You used your battery.
To do an Instagram video.
Did you ever figure out who threw that Crunch Bar wrapper in the pool? Yeah, ridiculous.
Oh, it's like a CSI? I didn't know it's like a CSI.
He's on the roof and he goes through the things he has. He's like, I got my cigarettes. I got Crunch Bar. I got some weed, and then it cuts to like, it appears through the edit that it's a little bit later. And then he's like, I can go swimming in the pool, but someone has thrown a Crunch Bar wrapper in the pool. Just such a quick fucking punchline to the setup earlier. I was like, God damn it, that's good.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
That's great.
I like giving away comedy for free. That's my whole thing.
Dude, that's
like
what social media is all about.
It really is. It's like, thanks for making us work more to make less money.
That's right. You know how to utilize that free comedy, and that's impressive.
Thank you.
I am trying to learn.
I'm bad at it. Very bad at it.
Really? Because I feel like you post a lot. You're good.
Yeah, but I'm not. I post a lot, but I.
But obviously,
it's not doing anything.
If it intrigued Rick, to figure out.
I thought Rick's stuff is the best. He liked one tweet of mine that when he liked it, I was like, wow. I got Rick. I admire Rick because he's the one guy I don't like. I don't like following Leslie Jones.
Okay.
And I only found Rick Ingram.
I love this. That's amazing.
We're very similar.
It takes me 5 minutes for the crowd to forget them.
And you just had a follow Leslie a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I believe I watched that.
Yeah, that went fine because I made a joke about it.
You killed.
Like, thanks, man.
I was like, wow.
The tweet, you know, at the end of the Papa John's commercials, they just leave the camera on for a while and he just stares. Like the camera.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, nobody stares creepily like Papa John stares creepily. And Rick Ingram liked it. And then I was like, man, that's...
Yeah.
I'm ready for the big time.
Dude, he really notices little nuances
I happen to think that Papa John's is probably the creepiest human being that ever lived.
I agree.
I mean, like, he just has that just, I rape dead hookers stare.
Yeah.
And he sells pizza, and that seems weird to me.
I don't eat their pizza either.
I dislike Peyton Manning based solely on his friendship with Papa John.
They do seem like they hang out a lot.
Yeah. And I know Peyton... I was telling someone this, and my friend was like, well, Peyton Manning is part owner of Papa John's. Like,
is?
It makes him creepier.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I guess he owns like hundreds of Papa John's or he
and
bought
I used
a percentage.
Love
of,
him.
What the
yeah.
Well, it's not that bad. It's not like Papa John's.
It's not like they're murdering
people. He looks like a rapist. Yeah. And acts like a rapist.
Right. And that's not cheese. That's semen.
It could,
it
could be. Maybe he finger banged Peyton Manning. And Peyton has like a victim. Yeah,
you
suppression
get that sexy
thing. I don't
neck
know. Anyway,
you just want to climb.
He does. Is that a sexy neck? I know he's
I'm
a
kidding.
Big neck.
That's a frightening.
No,
neck.
I'm just asking. Okay.
No,
okay.
That's
I think it's been medically repaired.
Manning. Yeah.
He's got a giant football stitches scar on the back
like
of it.
He's like a Build-A-Bear. Didn't they rebuild his neck? And everybody was just...
I think we can all agree, what a loser.
I feel like more people watch just to see if his neck would break when he came back after that. Hey,
and it's like NASCAR. You just want to see the wreck.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't blame anyone for that. Also, I'm a Chiefs fan, so fuck the Broncos.
Whoa, that came out. All right.
I don't really care that much.
I just like Manning. I'm a Birds person and a Rams girl.
I'm a Birds
girl.
Person.
I just know who he is from commercials.
Yeah. You don't watch football?
No.
Really?
I don't watch anything.
What do you mean? I don't watch
any sports. I don't know. It just never happened.
That's amazing.
Where are you from?
New York.
I'm terrified of you.
I watched the Mets for baseball. 10 years in the Queens. But right around college, I just tagged out. Yeah. I found a lot of drinking, marijuana, and doing like a radio show, comedy radio show, and that's where all my energy went, and I just never...
Got back in.
Yeah. And also probably because I wasn't good at them, you know?
Wasn't good at sports?
Probably.
Oh, okay.
I mean, some years I was good, depending on who else was on the team.
Well, my mom's a terrible athlete, but she loves sports.
I was good at racquetball, because if you know physics, you know where the ball's going to land, so you don't got to move that much.
Smart. That's a smart man sport.
Yeah, I could do curling.
Is that why I'm not good at it? I don't know where that
ball
is.
Most people chase
going.
The ball. If you just stand still, the ball will come to you. That I learned.
That's a good.
I say that like I still play. I haven't held a racket since summer camp.
Yeah, he's got a Scalero down the racquetball court.
Oh, you went to summer camp. I like this.
Damn, this guy just doesn't stop bragging. Summer camp
super
going.
Bragger.
Summer
I
camp.
I love that. Where did you go to summer camp in New York?
Yeah, well, I was a counselor for a camp. Damn. Do
counselors really get laid like they did in 80s movies?
It was a little less raucous, but it happened, yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
But it was also a camp for mentally retarded children.
Oh, good.
So it was fun, and then at the nighttime, you were just complete perverts. Not to the retarded people. When they slept.
They're pretty perverted themselves.
I do know
themselves.
A story. There's a mentally retarded guy who... How do I keep saying it like that?
I think it's important
he's
that you...
He's a retarded guy. But he was also blind, and he was very stressed, you know?
Oh, poor
thing. So they literally, two older counselors, literally taught him how to masturbate. So
I
he could
love
relax.
That.
I had a friend who worked in a home in Kansas City where they lived, and he was like... These people masturbate so much.
Yeah, they do.
All the time.
Like, the
anywhere.
Guys are always just going for it. They'll be like sitting in a commons room. Two of them are playing pool, and the other guy's just standing next to him, just fucking beating the hammer.
The women did it too. My sister used to have a home for mentally retarded women. She had three adult women that she took care of, and they would do it
just
all the time.
It.
My sister would be like, "We're in the bank. Please." Yeah. You know, like.
They're so lucky.
Crazy.
So lucky. You can get away with that.
Yeah.
So they're very, it's like me. I'm like a pervert like that, but I do it softer when I'm in the bank. Like I do it
slower. You got to keep it down.
More of the down low. Like, you know, I don't get caught.
That's smart.
That got creepy.
A lot of times I just have memories of them just taking off their clothes in church at a talent show and like, you know, being mayhem.
A talent show?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty good talent.
And I usually would be the host, and so I'd have to tackle a fat, naked, Down syndrome Hawaiian kid.
God, how is this not part of at least a pilot episode or something?
I did pitch a pilot in.
I'll never forget it.
2000.
You coming as a tackle, like in the backfield. I don't know why that just.
It might have been 1999 or 2000. I pitched a show that was the house I worked at, which was six mentally retarded people and me and like a hot girl and. They got uncomfortable. Like, no, people aren't up for retarded things. And literally 5 months later, There's Something About Mary comes out. And it was totally it was okay then. And I actually got a phone call from somebody going, I'm sorry about that. We were wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Franks and beans.
But it was only one guy. Well.
Mm-mm. Yeah, there's
right.
a whole
he
pack
went to
of
that.
Them.
That's right. They took them out.
Their movies.
Cocoa Nut. Because
then Matt Dillon has
the picnic thing.
Yeah. Those silly bastards are the only good thing I got going for me in this crazy mixed up world. Yeah. They had Life Goes On? Is that?
Life Goes On.
That was on in the 80s or 90s.
Then there was the girl from Facts of Life doing stand-up.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Jewell.
Jerry Jewell.
Yeah.
But they really prefer to be treated like everyone else.
Yeah.
So I don't
understand. Case by case basis.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you're right.
Were you here the night that Jerry Jewell was upstairs and Brody Stevens was on stage?
Are you kidding me?
Not, but he was. Yeah.
She's still doing comedy?
So she was just sitting in the room watching.
No.
With a friend. And
wow. What a great story already.
Yeah. So she's
sitting.
It could end right now. I'd be happy.
It gets better, and I can't even believe that I wasn't here for it.
She's sitting in a booth, and people have been like, you know, that's Jerry Jewell. And I'm like, who? And they're like, there's the girl from the Facts of Life. I'm like, oh. So Brody goes up, and there's probably like 10 people in the room, including Jerry Jewell and her friend.
This is during the dead years, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, we're very slow.
Yeah, here. It's like 12:30 at night on a Wednesday or something. Yeah. And it's just very slow. Most of the people in the building are comics hanging out because we had nowhere else to go. And
right.
Brody's on stage, and it's not going well, and he's yelling at the audience. And then he's like, that lady won't even look at me. And he like points her out, and we all start laughing. And he's like, What makes you so fucking special? You don't even have to look at the comic. And then someone said, leave her alone. Or her friend said, leave her alone, something like that. She's like, why? What's your name? And she's like, Jerry. And then he's like, who is it, Jerry Jewell? Because I'll tell you right now, Tootie, you better look over here. And then someone was like, it is Jerry Jewell. And then Brody just throws the mic down and covers his head.
Oh, my God.
She's like, you're an asshole.
Oh, my God.
And then we all just died. And Brody literally crawled off the stage. And Don Barish ran
up
there.
What are the chances?
Yeah.
First of all, that he would know the name.
Yeah.
That you would remember.
And the second of all, she's there.
I would never know the
name.
That's
like one out of a million meets one out of a million.
I was dying. And Don Barish, because, ladies and gentlemen, that's the bully, Brody Stevens. Don, I didn't know. Brody, just get out of here. You're so mean.
That's so funny.
Don trying to get them back
just make
in.
Make it worse.
Come on, be part of the Ding Dong Show. Yeah. Come on back in.
That was what you have
special needs? We need you in the Ding Dong Show.
That's when she quit.
Yeah.
That was probably the last straw.
That was it.
I landed in Kansas City. I'll never forget this. And I was just on TV like a year before, and then things had really changed with the writer's strike. So I'm getting off the plane in Kansas City, and the woman picks me up to go to Stanford's. And she goes, you want to meet my squirrel? And I was like, huh? She goes, you want to meet my squirrel? And I was like, you have a squirrel? She's like, yeah, they knocked down a tree nearby my house, and we took care of a squirrel after that. It was living in a tree. And I was like, okay. She opens it, the cage, and the squirrel comes running out like full speed and just runs right over my face. That's and does 360s around my face, claws right by my eyes. And I got to pretend like I like it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that's fun. That's nice. And then
I would freak the fuck out.
At that
sorry.
Moment, that's when I knew my career was over. That was the exact moment that I went from.
You're like, I've got a shot.
Fox executives are going, Brian, we're really happy to have you here. Yeah. To Kansas City.
Squirrel.
You better fucking get off stage on time and not go, you know, don't drink on stage.
That's
and then
a good impression, too.
And then the fucking squirrel attacks me. And that I knew it was over. I knew it was all over.
Man.
I would have freaked out if, at first I would have said, no, I don't want to see your squirrel.
Yeah, but I'm learning, that point, I thought you had to be nice to everybody you met.
Yeah.
On the road. And then since then, I've figured out that...
Did that person work for the club?
Yeah. So since then, I figured out 50% of club owners on the road are fucking out of their minds.
Yeah, at least. And they all think they would be the best comedian of all time. Mm-hmm. That's
They
probably
do like five
stand-ups.
Open mics.
Yeah.
And it's the worst.
How long have you been doing stand-up?
I started in... my first official paid show was in 95.
Wow.
And that's the first year I took it seriously that I got to perform once a week in New York. But I'd done it a couple of years, like twice a year. But then 95 is when I was like, okay, I'm going to quit my job and
really do it.
I worked at, you know, the cartoon Doug?
Remember Doug?
I was an intern on that show, and they put me in a room, and they said, fix these boxes. Should have took 2 hours, but I was stretched out for weeks. I just sat in a chair and just beat the boxes with a broom handle. It sounded like I was moving things. And then eventually they figured it out, and they got rid of me, and I just became a comic.
I remember.
Were they paying you? Like an intern?
Yeah.
Sometimes
it was an official job.
Oh, okay.
When I started doing comedy in Kansas City, Chris Porter was he was on the come up,
right?
And he was the local Kansas City guy at that time who they gave they give him 10 minutes on the open mic instead of three or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he still hadn't really done anything. So he was probably 22 or something, but he had short hair and. Back then, and a good portion of the jokes he told in his 10 minutes were about how he looked like Nickelodeon's Doug. And
it just hilarious. He kind of does.
Yeah. And once he grew the hair out, it didn't anymore. But yeah,
but
he had short hair.
Funny.
I just remember that. Like I never saw Doug, but that's what I think of as Chris Porter.
It sounds familiar, but I can't put of it.
It's not important. They were dicks.
But now I'm thinking of Chris Porter with shorter hair.
That is the closest.
He was a lot cooler than
I'm
Doug.
I'm enjoying
probably,
what I'm seeing.
You've been on a few shows, right?
A
I mean, I see you post
shows.
Pictures.
Yeah. Well, I did it the other day. I was trying to come up with a joke about how much my career has changed, and I was thinking about listing all the accomplishments up front, and then showing how much things have changed. But so I know the list. I was a regular on two network sitcoms, three regular on three network pilots. 4 recurring characters on 4 cable shows, 22 guest roles, 10 appearances of stand-up on TV, 1 Comedy Central special, 2 albums, and 3 films.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah, and now I fucking work for $15. And yeah. I spend it at the bar.
It's exciting. It went up to 20.
I'm not complaining about this place. This place is taking care of me.
We got a bump.
Yeah.
Extra $5. That's crazy.
Yeah. Every time you post a photo, I'm like, what show is that?
I like to remind people, I can't do this.
No, you.
Every comic's hiring their friends not to be on shows.
Yeah.
So posting those pictures is my way of saying, don't forget.
I've done this.
Yeah. Like I did it before Facebook, and there was no Facebook.
Yeah.
Around,
you
know? Right.
But now the guest roles, I get like Mad Men, I guess, in 2012. And
yeah, and you're great. You've done a ton of commercials. I've seen a shit ton of commercials, too.
Yeah, those were good years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sullivan and Son was you were
Sullivan
on that
Son
one
did the
too.
First season of that show, yeah.
Which is Steve Byrne.
Steve Byrne.
That was his show, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was his show. I was really kind of an outsider to the first season.
Oh, you were. Oh, okay. I just would see the pictures, so I just assumed it was.
No,
I was
did
just
it.
Excited that it was all.
No, they
comics.
They hired me. Yeah, they were very nice. I did a show with Pam Anderson for 2 years with Christopher Lloyd called Stacked.
Oh, I remember that show.
It was written by the guys winning Emmys for Modern Family. So apparently, I was just one show early.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
You'd be great on Modern Family.
I try. They keep giving it to celebrities. I go in and then.
Isn't that weird? That infuriates my mother. She's like, you know, you could get hired, but they keep giving it to celebrities. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what they're missing.
But it's true. The celebrities don't have any money anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's all, we've all gone down a level.
I've basically never done anything. But,
but you're fucking great. But, I hate you. I hate when you're
With that being said,
I'm laughing and I go, fuck you at the same time. You know? I'm like, you son of a bitch making
honesty.
My job hard. And then I wrote to him and I was like, why do you got to be so funny, you bastard? And he goes, I'm just trying to make fun of nerds.
Yeah. It's true. I want to be the nerd bully. I want to be the one that makes
people
the turn.
People would really complain about Rick and they wouldn't come in if they had a follow. They would leave if they had a follow.
It's a challenging thing.
The most recent one I got was Aziz Ansari said he wouldn't go up after me one night. Like a couple months ago, and he was preparing for SNL or whatever. And I was like, wait, that dude knows who I am? And they're like, well, he had to describe you. I'm like, okay. He didn't know your name, but all right, fuck that guy.
What was his description?
I would have liked him.
This white boy.
Yeah, you know, the kind of a gangly looking loser type. Real mean, though. Oh, Ingram. Yeah, that's him.
Interesting, man.
Doing a lot of crowd work.
Well, it's difficult to all of a sudden change the crowd back to jokes. Not only that, he's fucking great at it.
Yeah.
Like you and Ian Begg are the two best crowd work in the business, I think. I know, I heard Paula Poundstone used to be good at it, so she probably still is.
Yeah,
but I haven't seen her perform in 20
her.
Years.
Yeah.
You know? But I know that Ian Begg and Rick are the two best crowd works in the
I've
business.
I've seen Ian. I remember watching Ian years ago at the Improv and thinking, oh, this guy does no goddamn material.
It takes 5 minutes for this crowd
to
get
readjust.
Back into jokes.
Yeah, they're like, wait, it's not about us anymore?
Yeah, and he looks really fake, and they always try to yell shit out. I'm like, and I literally say, I'm not that guy. I don't give a shit where you're from. I don't care, so shut up. And then they usually laugh.
Get
and
back right on board with you.
Sometimes they get a little mad. Like, oh, my friend's gay. You're not going to say anything?
Look at me sucking a dick right now. You're not going to comment on this?
I will 100% talk to everyone except for the actual gay friend. And I will accuse everyone else of being gay.
I picture you at home. You're sick. Say goodbye to your wife and your kid, and you go, all right, I'm going to go make fun of people. And you just get in the car and you just drive to get out of the car, make fun of people, get back in the car and go back and be a human being.
That's pretty much it.
Go home it's and be a human
you know?
Being.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to show up and make fun of people and leave.
You don't think he picks on
his neighbors?
It was funny.
He picks on his neighbors or his wife? Was,
to his wife. I don't think directly to him.
When I was single, I would get girls that come up to me after the show and talk to me, and I'd be like, oh, this is sweet. And then after like 5 minutes, I could see how disappointed they were that I was actually fairly nice.
A normal person.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, he's not really that dick
I thought he was
going
to hit me.
When you want to get laid after a show, there's always a window.
Very always, short.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll see you tomorrow for lunch. I'm like, I guess we won't. this only works for another 3 hours before you realize
that's a good long window, 3 hours, though.
It's much longer than any window I ever had. Mine had to be like, shut up and get in the car, ugly, and then take it from there.
Oh, that's not nice.
Speaking of my home life and good times.
Uh-oh.
So this old dude down the hall from me
lives
with his wife, and they're like almost 90 or something. And so I always am commenting to my wife, like, how the fuck do two 90-year-olds live by themselves still. Like, it just seems like a bad idea. You still see her driving sometimes.
Oh,
just like,
yeah, amazing.
So...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
My wife is always like, well, you know, Selma still kind of has it together. And I'm like, yeah, I guess so. So a couple days ago, I get a call on Monday morning. And she's like, are you home? I'm like, yeah. She's like, something's wrong with Harold. I need you to come help
come
me out.
On.
I'm like,
then you become the guy.
Yeah, that I'm like, what? It. So I go down there. And Harold has had a heart attack. And he's on the floor. And she's like, will you pick him up? I'm like, pick him up? What the fuck? And in this lady's mind, the thing to do was not call 911.
Right.
What? It was, I should
Are
call
they Irish?
Rick down the hall and have him come down here. And then
was
like,
it a heart attack?
Yeah, yeah. I got there and he was basically on the ground and he can't see or hear without his hearing aided. He doesn't have his hearing aided. So I'm like, Harold, are you okay? What can I do? And he's like, who is that? I'm like, it's Rick. And he's like basically mumbling, and I'm like, there's something wrong with this dude. We need to call 911.
Oh, she didn't know he had a heart attack. Yeah, she just thought he fell.
Yeah, I guess so.
Harold fell.
Yeah,
get up.
He's trying to get the cat.
Pick him up. That's she kept saying, pick him up.
I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear that.
Sorry.
So, yeah, hard to see that.
By the end.
How is he?
He's unconscious, but I think he's basically dead, but on life support. I'm not for sure.
Yeah, so you.
But it would have been nice.
So
probably,
you were the incident.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So then I'm just like, well, no, we need to call 911. She's like, well, let me get dressed. I'm like, listen, you wear the robe and not. Do you want me to call? No, I'll call him if you think.
God.
Yeah, definitely do. So then I went downstairs to let.
They're
ambulances
both just looking for a way out.
Yeah, like
just
everyone's just trying to go.
They're trying to frame it on Rick.
Yeah. Right, frame Rick.
Fire department shows up. I'm showing where. Yeah, it's up there, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God. You become that neighbor.
By the time they get him out,
right.
They're doing chest compressions on himself. Oh. I'm just like, fuck.
They
this.
Look up Rick and they only
Come
find
on.
Him doing stand-up.
It's just me being an asshole.
Of an old man.
Like, Rick, they just did the courtroom. Would a man not change his pills who makes these jokes about Mexicans?
He could have clearly saved him had he wanted to.
This man in the front has a date and is clearly not homosexual. What other lies are Rick telling us?
Yeah. I saw him a few weeks ago and he is working on a new catchphrase called It's Time to Die. You tell me, Your Honor.
Man, that's a horrible
story. That is a horrible story. I'm so sorry.
So yeah,
that's
what my
home
life.
Why do you talk to your neighbors? I'm just asking.
Because I'm the guy.
I
whenever
talk
there
to
was,
no one.
Our window looks out to the front of the building. So whenever there's been problems, it's always me. It was like, we gotta call the police. This is ridiculous. Yeah. So at some point, my neighbors all decided that I'm the guy that watches over the building. They like think I'm the manager.
That's hysterical.
Like, we'll
you should
Rick.
Have a manager look.
Someone
you
called
have a
me.
Tool belt that you come out like with that guy.
The management company called me and they go, "Are you at home?" I'm like, "Yeah, what's going on?" They're like, "Could you go down in the garage?"
Are you
like,
kidding me? Start getting paid.
Yeah, I go.
Right?
Why am I going down there?
Yeah.
Could you shut off the water valve? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we heard you were helpful. I go, yeah, call a plumber. I don't know anything about water valves.
God damn
that's
it!
Hilarious.
You're too nice.
Yeah,
I have.
That's
I have,
what I always say.
I have absolutely insane neighbors. I have a...
Do you talk to them?
Well, yeah, sometimes you have to. Sometimes they don't. They kind of recognize you from the store or
more,
you know, the comedy store or on TV. Or I mean, I just make jokes in the elevator because I'm fucking bored.
Oh, okay.
So then it becomes, hey, I want to hang out. And then they know my name. I'm like, oh, they looked me up. Yep. No, I don't really want to hang out. But next to me was this one French guy, this gay black French guy.
Yes.
And he...
Triple threat.
He would
Always
steal...
Funny.
He would steal... clothes from department stores, and he would steal. He had a ring of stealing flat screen TVs.
Ooh.
So I get out of my car, and he'd be unloading like tens, like 20s, you know, 20 flat screen TVs.
That guy I'd be friends with.
But yeah, but then the cops kicked down his door. I think it's my door. I'm in my bedroom. I think I might have still been doing coke in those days. And I was like, oh no, they come to get me. I could hear him through his bedroom next to my bedroom. So then they So they couldn't arrest him. They couldn't find him. And then Homeland Security came.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm in my underwear, smoking weed, watching porn probably. I can't remember. It might have been Muppet Show.
Easily.
Same thing.
Yeah.
He comes,
same erection.
And he comes in, what's the name of it? Homeland Security, and asked me questions about the guy. And then on the other side of me was a Russian escort who was on meth. She would run down the hallway screaming in her underwear, like, no, no.
Yes.
And then she would stop you and go, do you have my makeup? Did you steal my makeup? And you're like, no. And then she goes, do you want me to take off my dress? It was crazy.
And, I mean, it's illegal to say no to that.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you probably should, just so I know that you're legit.
It's just insane. And yet the rent is $2,000. And these people get in somehow.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine is like a two-story walk-up, so I don't have... I mean, I see my landlord once in a while. He's nice, but my hours are so odd. Everybody's asleep. We have one girl, she was a drug addict, in the building, and she would knock on my door. She was from England, and she'd be like, can we have a talk? Because I would come home late, and she'd be all fucked up, and she's like, do you know Andy Dick? And I'm like, oh, no.
Yes.
Anybody that starts a sentence.
Yeah, that's
Andy
the best
Dick.
Starter to any story of all time. Do I know Andy Dick?
Yeah.
I did
let her in my apartment one night at like 3 a.m. because I was like, fuck it. I don't do
nothing
drugs.
Ever good comes out of that.
Yeah. But nothing. I thought, let's watch
we'll see
the
where
fun
it goes.
Happen.
Yeah.
And she lives two doors down. So she was there for like, I don't know, 4 minutes. And she's like, can I use your bathroom? I'm like, oh, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Fuck, she's going to go look for shit. You know what I mean? I've dated every drug addict there is.
Go
I know
the,
what's happening.
The cabinet.
So I hear her in there and she's like,
oh, that's hilarious.
And I have a studio apartment.
Can
so
I look
I'm
at
like,
your bathroom?
So I'm like, are you okay? Are you looking for anything? She's like, we use the same moisturizer.
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
You need to get out of the bed.
Unbelievable.
I go, I don't even have NyQuil in there. I can't get you high.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
sorry.
Ridiculous.
Nothing ever good comes from letting him in. You think it's going to be like Sanford and Son. Or like friends where neighbors come in and it's always fun and welcome and funny things happen. No.
That's bullshit.
It's
those
literally
shows.
Just leave. Just get out.
Yeah. We had a Russian drug addict. A Russian family moved in. They were fucking classic.
Yeah.
The mom, biggest jowls you've ever seen on a human being.
Sexy.
Fat. She was always chain smoking in the garage. So they finally told her, like, you can't smoke in the building. It's a common area. You got to smoke out front.
Hmm.
She looked at me. She goes, so much for free country. And I was like, bravo, bravo.
I liked how you had to deepen your voice to do it.
Yeah, oh yeah. Sure. She was horrifying.
Sure.
And her son would cook
her
heroin
on the
roof.
Oh, hilarious.
And one day he was down in the lobby, and I walked in. He was like, hey, can I stay in your couch?
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, no, man, I got a wife. And he's like, well, my family kicked me out. I'm like, so why would I let you stay?
Yeah. Your
parents kicked
you
out?
Fucking weirdo.
And then the other time he gave me the, hey, can you drive me somewhere? I go, where am I driving you? Well, I need to sell some caviar so I can get dope money.
Oh,
I'm like,
okay. Well.
You're slinging caviar for drugs? That's pretty fucking Russian.
That is pretty Russian.
Yeah.
Does that work?
I guess. I don't know. I just told him no, and he looked. But they were so racist. Their hatred of the one black family in our building would just kill me because everyone hated the Russians so much.
Wow.
Yeah.
But they were hardcore against, you know, we don't have problem with black people in Russia because we don't have black people. Like, Jesus.
Wow. That's the most stereotypical accent I've ever
Thank
heard.
You.
It's amazing. I love it.
I do a bad British accent and that accent for every other European.
I feel like I'm on Santa Monica.
What? Oh, yeah. With
that one Russian area?
Yeah. They're everywhere.
Yeah, there used to be one place there you'd go get, like, MoneyGram. People send you money.
Oh, okay.
So I go in there, somebody sent me some, and they were like, oh, we don't. I'm like, well, what do you mean you don't? It says right there, MoneyGram. And you have the forms here.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't.
It's a front?
It must be a front.
Idiot.
There's literally nothing in there but postcards and, like, two pairs of sneakers.
You go now.
Yeah, Russian mob. They run parts of WeHo.
That's what they said.
I threw a fit in there anyway, though.
Good
for
you.
That's probably a bad move.
No.
Don't be afraid of them.
We just got to make sure they know whose country this is. You
right.
know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
when I was a kid, this one Russian kid moved into our neighborhood, and he had a Russian accent, but Red Dawn had just come out.
Love that movie.
Yeah, so we had plenty of wars with that
Hell
person.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And now he's crazy for some reason.
Well, probably happened.
It's not your fault.
In the little Italian neighborhood he moved in.
A little bullying never hurt anybody other than a lot of people.
You know that movie ruined his career, that guy, John Milius? The guy that John Goodman's based on in Big Lebowski is the guy who did Red Dawn. But because it was so controversial, it like ruined him in the business.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know. I just I know Red Dawn. One, I really do love that movie, even though it's ridiculous. But it's I know it was financed by NRA.
Okay. Makes sense.
It's like hardcore conservative groups financed it. And the point of the movie was to show that
we need guns.
Causing people to having people register for guns.
Right.
Because there's a scene in the movie where they went to City Hall, found the gun registry, and then they killed all those people. And so their point was to show that we shouldn't have to register our guns because what if?
Wow, what if we can't get them registered because the registered people got shot?
Yeah. So
what if C. Thomas Howell wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Wow, I didn't. Yeah,
I'm sorry to take this conversation to 80s movies.
I'm enjoying
it. Should always be there.
We love 80s movies.
Yeah, it was not a bad movie. Patrick Swayze.
I watched
the Red Dawn remake.
Oh yeah, no reason.
Unbelievably terrible.
I don't think they remade it.
They remade it. I think North Korea or something takes the place of the Soviets.
All right. Well, but right there is where everybody fucked up.
Yeah.
Because
very few good remakes.
It's just not a fun.
Very few.
Ocean's 11. Probably a good, better remake. Probably.
I never saw the originals.
It was a music video.
That's how I assume it, because it wasn't good enough for us to see. Yeah.
I saw the first one, and the second one was like a music video, I felt like.
But he's good.
With like celebrities.
Yeah, that's true.
But is Ocean's 12 a remake, though?
Ocean's 12 is ridiculous, is what it is. Yeah.
Ocean's
13, not a remake.
It got better in Ocean's 13, but I can't think of many good remakes.
Most of the time, it's terrible.
Oh, 310 to Yuma.
Oh yeah,
that was great.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
I don't think ending.
I never saw the original that one either. So
yeah,
I did watch it through the first one.
The second one, I think I saw. Yeah,
second one's good.
Yeah,
I drove through Yuma the other day. It was not
scary.
Fun. Not fun.
Not as enjoyable as
every
the film.
Time you see it. Does it make you think of that though? Because that's what I do.
I do. Yeah,
every time I'm like, oh, it's
I usually
creepy.
Pick out the Anthony Bourdain places. Like I was driving down that one road. I don't even know what road it is. 86. There's nothing there. And you pass the Salton Sea.
Yeah.
You know, the Salton Sea was a big resort.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the salt content went up and all the fish died. And then
everyone left
except for two old people in a bar.
Yeah. And it's, all the fertilizer and shit got in there, too.
Yeah. It's a fucking mess.
Yeah, because I was out in Palm Desert 2 weeks ago, and it smelled horrible because of the Salton Sea.
Yeah.
It blows in or whatever, but... I was like, what? Why is it still there? And they're like, well, they don't know what to do with it. They let it dry up. Then all the chemicals from the fertilizer that got in there would blow into the air because it would just turn into dust.
Well, there's nothing there.
So they just keep it with enough water
so it's
that it stays wet, but it just smells like rotting fish for 100 years.
But it's still getting in the air. Oh, well, I guess
the fertilizer's not. Just the smell of awfulness.
Unless you reach it and throw the fertilizer in the air.
Yeah.
So
which I would do.
I want to
go have a mud ball
what
fight.
What a horrible experience that was doing that show out there.
The show was that?
Yeah,
it was the seasonal improv at the Fantasy Springs.
I'm sorry, did you say seasonal?
Yeah.
Like pancakes?
It's January to April. I was the last week of the year.
Okay.
They throw up an improv in a conference room at the
tent.
Fantasy Springs.
The way you said it was like
no, I mean, there's literally like they went to like the banner store and printed out a brick wall banner. And they fucking throw that shit up in the middle of the conference room, and then they put like
Shut
a stage
up.
Like a foot off the ground.
Is this a joke?
No, this is legit.
Yeah.
And so like I did it 2 weekends ago. Last weekend they had a reverse mortgage seminar in the same room.
So funny.
Brick tarp is down now though. But
so what the fuck is with these places? I played a club in Scranton, and the entire crowd was there for a surprise birthday party. So literally, everyone in the crowd, yeah, it was a comedy club. Everyone in the crowd was all friends.
Okay.
And then the woman walked in, they go, surprise, and then they all sat down and watched the show. She didn't get a chance to say hi to anybody. It was the worst timing. And I just was like, I can't believe this. People are shouting things out of each other from the room. How's your mom? You know, I'm like, I can't believe this.
Wow.
And my career, I was right, my career was over with the squirrel.
After the squirrel, you knew to expect surprise birthday party shows.
That is the craziest thing. The only thing I've ever seen that was weirder is Mitzi used to have theme shows in the main room when we were real slow. And we had It's Fun to Be a Jew, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And which is weird because it's not. And so
it's not fun to be anybody.
No.
So she,
maybe blonde.
The guy in charge of it was a guy named Bruce Smirnoff.
I know.
And I love Bruce, right? And Bruce used to, he's like, oh, don't worry, I'll get people. I'm like, okay. So the place is packed, and I realized that he made it a singles Jewish mixer. So they were like meeting people, and they didn't know a show was going to happen.
Yeah,
that's
and then
the best.
I'm waiting tables, And I go, I remember I went to this one lady. I was like, hi, what can I get you? It's a 2-drink minimum. You know, it's a comedy club, blah, blah, blah. I'm giving the whole fucking spiel. She goes, I'm waiting for someone to buy me a drink.
Oh.
And I was like, what? I had no idea. Yeah. So I go, I figure it out. Bruce is like, don't worry, we'll get her somebody to buy her a drink. I'm
so
like,
that's crazy.
But the comics had the worst fucking time.
Yeah.
Because
they just want to chat.
Everybody's like, wait, we're not getting laid? Mm-hmm. We got to watch this shit?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a surprise birthday. Surprise.
Yeah, it was awkward.
Shut up.
It was very fucking awkward. And I've had lots of those experiences. But they're so hard to remember. But I know when I go on the road, 1 out of 5 times is going to be a fucking goddamn crazy shit show.
Yeah.
I don't know where, I don't know when it's going to happen, don't know which club it is, don't know if it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
It's like a surprise party
for you. Something's
going to
go very bad.
Yeah, I can't, I mean, I legitimately can't get booked anywhere. But whenever whenever someone.
I threw your name into a club in Scottsdale.
Nice. That'd be sweet.
Did they contact
you? No one contacts me.
I don't want to say the name.
Oh, but no, yeah, you're right. Okay.
They should have called him.
They should, because he's so good. Yeah,
everywhere. No, they didn't, because they don't have the money.
Well, that's usually the thing, is when I do get in, it's like, you know, you do the weekend, we'll give you $800, and...
So,
yeah,
it just cost me $100 to drive here and $100 to eat.
And I'm always like, all right, that's probably not worth it.
You break even, barely. Mm-hmm.
But they, whenever I do get booked, I'm like, something must be up. And then when I go, it's always the worst. Like
I did a fake brick wall that they're blowing up.
Someone called me once, hey, can you come headline Kalamazoo, Michigan? I'm like, sure. So I get up there, just the fucking worst. It was like...
Was it in a bouncy house?
Like, it was a comedy club, but the comedy club, I think, ended pretty quickly after I was there, or maybe switched owners or something. But it was like in the basement of some bar. And
wow.
They would get people to come down just from the bar. Like, people were just walking in, like, what is this? Oh, it's a comedy show.
Yeah, those are open mics.
We peaked with, like, probably 25 people one night. Same thing when I did the improv in Vegas. It was 7 nights.
Well, they
for
went through
$1,000.
I'm not even sure why. They were a very good
room. It was a great room, and it just went to shit.
I don't know the people they booked. I know when they booked me, and I know the people was on my show.
The casino
kind
of just went down, don't you think? Or
well, it's
Vegas.
A Harrah's, so that's terrible. Yeah. But the most we had was probably 15 on like Friday night.
Such a nice room.
And it was and Carl was a great dude. I loved him. And
rest in peace.
Yeah,
he's fine. He's fine. Just
the room
like
is
he
dead.
Was,
so, yeah.
The room is dead. But he was. It was a good room, and I was so confusing.
Yeah, I don't know. I was with 2 older comics, and one of them spent most of his set talking about.
That's what happened.
Yeah, he spent most of his time talking about his dead daughter. And I was like, this really doesn't seem like comedy. Yeah. They're like, well, it's kind of a one-man show. I'm like, we should probably prepare the people. It seems weird.
That's what I think happened, is that they threw in a lot of loyalty to you older guys.
That's what they told me, because I said they had me emceeing, and I was like, this doesn't seem fair to anybody.
That's
back
when the old lady was booking. She was 80 years old, and she was booking the room.
That's what they said. Well, Bud has to approve.
I don't want to say
that. I heard great things about
her.
She was very sweet.
She was
very cool nice to people.
She was like, will you emcee? And I was like, well, I can't emcee that week. First of all, I haven't emceed in 10 years. But I was like, I'm filming an Comedy Central half-hour special. She goes, a what? I go, Comedy Central? She's like, well, if you turn down this gig, I'm like, then what? I won't be back.
Yeah,
have you know Comedy Central?
Never heard of it.
Those are insane. I fucking remember doing the Ice House. I killed. And it was the only comic who did well out of 5. So I write to the new booger. And he goes, I just don't think your material would work here.
What?
I'm like, you just saw me yesterday, you fucking goddamn lunatic.
Yeah, the worst.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
They're crazy.
Really, well, funny has nothing to do with it anymore, I think.
But then why don't you say you're not famous enough to draw people in?
I agree. Yeah. Say how it is for real. Don't pussyfoot around it.
We make our money off of nachos, and you're not famous enough to bring 100 people who want nachos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, my crowd would buy nachos.
Either
stoned or fat, they're going to buy
nachos.
That's
the great injustice of it all.
I don't know. I don't know if I have
Brian
a crowd.
Brian Sclaro, he's got a nacho-eating audience.
Some comics have drinkers. Like, I work with Dice. He has drinkers.
Yeah. Alpha males.
Yeah. People will pay him whatever because they'll sell out of all their liquor. I've been here waiting tables where he's done just a week, and we've run out of everything.
Yeah.
So
I just remember this one story. The first time I played Tampa, not Side Splitters, a shittier room. Side Splitters is great. I'm there next week. Dude, you would do great there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think where I did in Tampa.
About too. It's right. It's
I think
a
they
great
had
room.
An improv in Tampa for a while, didn't
there
they?
There still is.
There still is? In it's Ybor that, City or whatever it is?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But was, yeah. The Side Splitters is great. Like, it's not my rarest favorite room.
Okay. Yeah, our
a lot of Italians.
Carrie is from there. Used to bartend right, down right, there, right? Yeah. Love
and
Mitchell.
It's a great room. But the first time I played Tampa, I played this restaurant. It's one of those restaurants where we do barbecue. We also have sushi. We have bands. We have the bowling alley. We'll change it. We'll change your oil. You know what I mean? It's like it's everything.
It's like,
we can't decide on anything. We're just gonna throw everything up there. And they were delivering food to the audience in to go boxes. Like during my last joke, it just killed them. And like so, the entire audience now has to go boxes, and they're all trying to do it themselves. Like the waitress didn't help them, so they're didn't take it to the back. The waitresses are. Give them the boxes and leave.
Right.
So the entire audience is trying to get their food in their boxes during my last joke.
You're being disrupted.
So
by...
I just stepped off the stage and started doing jokes while I was like spooning their food into the boxes. Just telling them, just walking around. And nothing. One old man wouldn't shut up, so I just gave him the mic and I left. I walked out the back door and I got in the cab and went to the hotel. I just left. I was like, this guy wants to talk, so I just gave him the mic and I left.
I did.
I love you.
I love you too.
More.
So great.
That's amazing.
It's a fucking nightmare. And then when you stand up for yourself somewhere.
Oh, forget it.
Then
now
you're
a jerk off.
You're a prima donna. And
a hotel in St. Louis, the woman said, I was like, hey, if I get a room with a balcony, can I smoke on the balcony? She goes, well, your room's going to smell like smoke. I was like, what if I close the door? Is it a rule that I can't smoke on the balcony?
Yeah.
And she said, no. And then she called the club and said, he's a pain in the ass. From that, playing Vegas one day, I'm in between shows, right? And my key doesn't work. So I go downstairs. Nobody is online, just velvet ropes.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's online. So I'm waiting for the two people to finish talking to the clerks. And the woman, one of the clerks goes, you have to wait online, sir. And I turn around. There's nobody online. So I say to her, there's nobody there. Meanwhile, I have 10 minutes to get to my room, change my fat sweatshirt. You know what I mean?
I know.
So then she finishes, and she calls up another guy who just walks up. She skips me, takes another guy. So I just lean over next to him and go, hey, man, I was actually online. She goes, I told you to wait online, sir. I was like, there was no line. I was the line. And then she refused to wait on me. So I went to the next clerk when she got free, and I got the key, no problem. Now, I didn't raise my voice once. I wasn't nasty once. And then the owner of the club calls me and he goes, I heard you were drunk yelling and screaming in the casino.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, if I was drunk yelling and screaming, wouldn't you have heard? Like, he called me 3 months later, said he just heard because the clerk pulled him aside. I'm like, if I was drunk and screaming, don't you think you would have been called that night?
Right.
Yeah.
Or, you know? Yeah.
And I said, like, I've been working you.
Or heard the story from someone who's like, oh, man.
Immediately.
It doesn't matter, man. And it's like, now it's amazing to me that, like, some 20-year-old clerk at a hotel can affect my paycheck.
Yeah.
That's a club I'm hoping to go to in another 15 months.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I fucking hate this job.
I hear you. But you're so goddamn good at it.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are all...
Yeah, you should, wait, you should get way worse at it if you're going to hate it.
Yeah. Yes. Because that's the thing. Like, you're to me, like, I see... I'm like, this guy is a perfect Comedy Store guy.
Thanks.
Like, when you came here...
When Tommy got fired.
Was
yeah.
Tommy that you showcased for, or...
No, Dom Herrera brought me in 2001.
So wow. Mitzi was still around.
So I auditioned for Mitzi, and I got off the stage, and she held out her hand, so I stopped, and she pulled me in. She was sitting next to Tommy, and she goes, you're going to call in your advance. It's been so long, I don't even know what she sounded like anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah and I said, thank you so much. Okay. It means so much to me. And I didn't get any spots for
That'll
years.
Happen.
He literally told me, you showed up funny from New York, and I don't like that. I want you to start from scratch.
Yeah,
and I said, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah,
I'm not going to park on the street and buy money for drinks and hopes that I'll get 5 minutes at 1 a.m. I just played the cellar for 10 years.
Yeah,
and now
fucking
I got
great.
And now I got to start over.
Yeah, I just had a conversation with someone. We were talking about Tom Papa, where Tommy was like, "No, we don't need someone like that."
Yeah,
what a
yes.
funny comic.
Yeah. Oh.
He doesn't respect me like the open micers do.
Yeah.
Is that what this club is about?
That
then?
Was his thing. Like, if Mitzi brought you in, he wanted to push you out because he wanted it to be developed
the power.
He
found
you.
Wanted me to,
like,
blow him in the fucking room upstairs.
Yeah, this guy's fucking around. He does a great
song. It's not just about blowing me, okay? It's about going down to my girlfriend Stephanie as well.
Tommy, she has herpes.
Well, we both have herpes. It's about the beats.
He didn't know who Louis C.K. was. Remember that story?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They were like, that's Louis C.K. He's like, who?
No, he's not a regular.
So I just worked at Laugh Factory, and then when Adam took over, I mean, God bless Adam and Eric. They fucking
yeah.
turned the club around
in like a one pretty month. Quick,
yeah,
remember the day Tommy got fired? God. It was like the scene, like when the Munchkins danced because the witch got killed by the house,
Ding
and everyone was outside having fun, friendly. The,
all of a sudden, this black ghost, cloud the ghost just lifted. Left.
Yeah,
the demons like, all right, let's get out of the bathroom and go home. Like it was all of a sudden one of the best club in the fucking world.
Yeah,
in like it was a month. Always, but he turned
it
into.
Bad 10 years.
No, he did. He put it into a weird.
It was insane.
Spin.
I was in London when Tommy got fired, and in the middle of the night, my phone just starts blowing up. My wife's like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "I don't know." And so I get up, go and pick up my phone because it was plugged into the wall in the shitty hotel room in London, and
he
fucking.
Hates.
And I had. Legitimately probably 15 to 20 text messages from people that were like, dude, Tommy got fired.
It was a great day. It
the
was
best
a great
thing
day.
Ever.
I'll
and I've been here 3 times a week since.
Yeah.
You know?
And rightfully so. Like,
thanks.
That is
yeah.
so
the lineups are great now.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The club's fixed up and the lineups are great.
And it's making
wonderful.
Money the way it's supposed
dude,
to.
It's the Cellar, it's... but it's in some ways even better.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the Cellar is small, but
the Cellar's small,
still,
but they
still
sell out four
great...
shows in a row a night.
And
then...
now they have the Underground, which is the same,
yeah, yeah.
connect it, right,
yeah,
but
yeah.
it's around the corner.
Like this and the Cellar are the two best rooms in the world.
Unbelievable.
And I say the world because guys come from Australia, guys come from Britain, guys
that's
come
right.
from Canada, and they go, that's the best, these are the best clubs.
Yeah. yeah.
They're saying that to us.
Yeah.
You know, I've never played Australia, but if an Australian comic is telling me that he wants to get into the store, it's the best room in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, the Cellar.
And they're trying to emulate this place because when I worked for Mitzi, we had a fight with Australia and England where because they have two comedy stores.
Right.
Neither
There's
of those
England,
are affiliated
yeah.
to one another,
yeah.
and they're certainly not affiliated to us. So we would do cease and desist to them all fucking day, and they were like, but we had no rights because they're
yeah, it's
out
a different
of the country.
Argus.
Ridiculous. They had a TV show. Remember, they had Live from the Comedy Store.
Yeah. I would have to, Mitzi was losing her mind over that.
Mm. Argus claims that Mitzi was okay with the comedy store in England because she felt that it would bring in, when British tourists came here, they would associate it.
Okay, well, it's not a bad idea.
But
she was freaking out. She hated that place. She made me send
He was the
letters.
Only person I ever heard say that, well, Mitch was okay with that. I was like, really?
Very good in impressions. I didn't know that you don't do any
Oh, my God.
Right.
No,
Argus
I don't.
Is yeah. our
I started as an impressionist.
I like the Brody. The Brody was good. Did you really start as an impressionist?
Yeah, that's how, when I started
that's how
comedy.
How fucking unfair life is. The people get us on now and they go, are you an impressionist? They go, no. Well, can you learn?
Yeah.
And here we got a fucking guy who's been in the comedy community for at least 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Fucking fantastic impressionist. Nobody gives a shit.
No.
We would take him on the, he used to open for Dice.
Yeah.
And the reason Dice booked him was because he did Argus.
I just made fun of Argus all the time. Like, he made me, we go to New York, and he just made me walk around with him for hours while he videotapes me with a camcorder, just pretending I'm Argus. Just... Go walk up to people on the street. Ask them what time it
First
is.
First time in New York,
Do
by
your
way.
Catchphrases.
Oh, funny.
Hey, hot peanuts, what time is it? People are just like, in New York, they're like, what the fuck? What the fuck is wrong with this guy? Good to be here. Mitz has a great show for you.
Mitz has a great show.
What?
Oh, that's funny.
When I was younger and there, I had a manager who was actually interested in representing me.
Talent instead of youth.
Yeah,
strange.
He was like, "Well, do you do characters or impressions or anything?" I was like, "No, not really anymore." And he's like, "Did you used to?" I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Well, put together a character reel." I'm like, "Okay, I don't really know how to do that kind of thing." And he's like, "Well, I'm going to give you a couple of reels to look at. One of them was yours."
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't have a character
Amazing.
Reel.
Amazing.
You know, some,
you do
some,
now.
But I don't have a character reel.
I'm positive it was you.
But was it imitations? Not impressions.
It was characters, I think.
But I don't do impressions.
Well, now I'm just confused.
It can't be me.
That's funny.
It can't be me. What year was it?
Probably 2006 or 7. It was
no,
like
no,
a
no.
sneezing character.
No, that's my fucking act. Did I once record?
You must have. Because I just remember seeing it, and I'd met you.
Act?
What the fuck?
And I was like, I've seen this guy. I know this guy.
What the fuck?
And then
if
the
it
other
was sneezing, it was me. But yeah. I don't remember. I don't. That must have been like my manager going, "You got to get
this.
Any characters?"
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, "No, we'll just do something from your act."
Yeah. And I'm
right.
But, wow, I don't even remember it.
Yeah, I remember yours was good. And
well,
then
thanks.
The other one they gave me was horrible. It was some guy who did. I'm not joking. It was like. 10 minutes long, and 7 minutes of it was him doing this character where he sells bootleg tickets outside the movie theater. Like he's a ticket scalper, but it's like, oh, yeah, I got 2 tickets over here. Come and get it.
That's what I don't understand. My reel was not good enough to get me whatever job it was, but yet good enough
to tell me this is what I need to do.
How the fuck did this guy get it?
It's Prince of Pato and Young.
Oh, yeah.
I think my dog died of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my answer for everything. I don't know.
Are you ready for me?
You're on stage.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Ricky's going to run up, but we could... what are we at? No, we could keep going.
We're probably at like 55.
What do you think? Yeah. What do you think? You have somewhere to plug? You got things to plug?
Well, let Rick go.
Yeah.
I'll go. I'll be back.
Yeah, we can finish it out.
There you go. Ricky always runs away on us.
Always. I don't want to watch him anyway.
Nobody wants to watch Rick.
Well, when does his hair?
Huh?
When does his hair?
This is this week because I was away for a long time. So.
Well, I'm in Tampa at Science Splitters next week. The following week, I'm at the Comedy Spot in Arizona.
Nice.
Scottsdale. And then I'm at the Tropicana Laugh Factory.
Yeah,
at
Las Vegas. I was just there yesterday.
I'm playing the Comedy Cave in Calgary.
Whoa.
And then I deposit the checks, and I'm immediately at zero and go right back out again.
That's how it works, man. Yeah. Isn't it sad?
Paying rent for an apartment for auditions that I can't go to because I'm not at it because I'm on the road.
Can you do the Skyping? Do you do that at all with the auditions?
Yeah, they never fucking watch it. I look at the views, and it's always zero. And I'm like, you never even watch it.
So I do that too. I thought I was the only psycho that looked at the views, but because I did that for Friends, I'm like, oh wow, they can Skype their auditions in. That's cool. Yeah. But I don't even get auditions, so I'm in.
A really good producer will look at it.
Yeah.
Someone with the very first thing I got was a booking from New York to L.A. by a writer named Steve Korn. He used to write on Seinfeld and SNL, and he had a pilot. And he watched. He said to me, "You know, the last person on 4 tapes." And each tape was 3 hours long, and you were the very last person. And he hired me off of that.
Oh, wow.
So he watched everybody.
That's awesome.
You never see that anymore, ever.
It was just casting auditions, but they film them.
Right.
And then they send them in. And I guess they add Skype in if people are on the road or whatever.
Right.
But for Dice, I was doing some punch-up writing.
Right.
And in the next room, they were watching the videos. And I could hear them laughing hysterically at people or just shitting on people.
Wow.
Like, oh, my God. That's frightening to hear.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Because somebody just wouldn't get the direction or whatever it was.
So they would leave and
they'd
talk shit.
No, then it was just in the room, but the walls were thin. And I don't think they realized that I could hear. And I was like, that's awful. But thank God it wasn't my stuff.
Right.
I didn't know who they were. But it was cool to hear like just random guys doing like there's this rabbi scene and there was this one rabbi, obviously they cast him, he was so good and he made them laugh so hard and I was like that's awesome and he killed it on the show. But it's all these up in the air, you never know what this shit
is. The game's changed and I don't want to take it to a negative place, but the game has changed
unbelievably. Changed. It's
I read for 5 parts this year and each one went to a black guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That happened to me in the 90s.
So the more cops treat black people like shit, the less work white actors get.
That's so true. Yeah. So true. And I've heard agents say it's really hard to be a white male right now.
Right now, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's always hard to be a woman. So I get it.
Yeah, the white males are always, nowadays, they're always the ones dying in movies.
Right now, yeah.
Like, no matter what. Like, they're expendable and nobody cares about it. I always remember Snakes on a Plane. White guy falls to the floor and a woman steps on the back of his head with a stiletto heel and just pierces his skull. And nobody gives a shit. They just keep running. Nobody cares about the white guy.
I was going to say, I did that in a nightclub. Yeah. I didn't know they did that on that movie.
And I think that's why Trump won, because everyone's tired of white guys getting killed.
I think you're right. Maybe that was the reason they voted for Trump.
I tend to oversimplify.
That's an amazing oversimplify right there.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Has it been 55 minutes? Has it been
I have no idea. It could be.
He
how
can't
long
hear us.
Has it been? Ari can hear us. He doesn't.
Oh, we should
an
stop.
An hour and 5 minutes, Ari.
Well, you can trim out the first 5.
See, Ari likes to. That's right. We have to do a little editing in the beginning, Ari. Look how angry he is. He has to do it. Yeah. That's why. But you'll hear it. It's fine.
Okay.
Anyway, so you plugged all those. Well, what's your social media?
Brian underscore Scalero on Twitter. All caps.
All caps, which I love when we get in the Comedy Store feed. Yeah. I love your name. Always bolds
up. When I signed, I didn't know. I didn't know how Twitter worked. I hadn't literally know. I did start up Twitter 2 years ago. I'm so far behind.
I suck at social media.
Instagram, I'm just Brian Scalero, I guess. I don't know. Type in Brian Scalero.
And you have really funny videos on there. I've seen only a few. I laugh hysterically because I'm just a big fan. So I thank you so much for coming and doing this.
No, thanks for asking me.
The world famous Comedy Store, and we love you. Brian Scalero, please follow him and follow us around everywhere. I will be here. I'm not sure where Rick will be. But the next 2 weeks, we're here. Okay. So.
I'm here this week.
This week you're here? This weekend?
Nice. Tampa, yeah.
All right. And then go see him at Side Splitters because that's a really fun place.
It's a fun club.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.